Blog Talk Radio.
Average Joe here. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. Today we've got some recipes. I'm just kidding. I thought I was like on a cooking show there for a minute. we might have some recipes. Average Joe here. Today, it's a beautiful day here in Piedmont, North Carolina, for one. Super nice weather. We're actually having a spring this year. I guess if you got to be in prison, in house arrest, as long as you got some pretty weather to, you can wander out in your yard if you don't wander too far without being shot. excuse me. Oh, did I say that out loud? Today's show is What Are You Doing Now? And then I put UFO on there because last week we were talking about UFOs, and we are probably going to talk about UFOs some more today too, but I didn't know how much you guys wanted to interact with me. The number to call in, by the way, is 914-219-0884 if you want to call in and if you have any close encounters regarding UFOs. And then we're probably going to talk about some other stuff too. So depending, again, how much you guys want to talk about UFOs. First of all, this day in history, polio vaccine trials began in 1956. The Salk polio vaccine field trials involving 1.8 million children begin at the Franklin Sherman Elementary School in McLean, Virginia. Children in the United States, Canada, and Finland participated in the trials, which used for the first time the now standard double-blind method, whereby neither the patient nor attending doctor knew if the inoculation was vaccine or a placebo. I think most of you know a placebo is just a pill that looks the same as the real thing, and just to make sure, but it's not the real thing, just to make you think you might be taking the pill so they can tell if it's, if it's psychological or not. Well, that's my understanding. A year later, on April 12th, 1955, researchers announced the vaccine was safe and effective, and it quickly became a standard part of childhood immunizations in America. In the ensuing decades, polio vaccines would all but wipe out the highly contagious disease in the Western Hemisphere. Polio was actually a virus, or is a virus, known officially as poliomyelitis. I believe that's the way you pronounce it. It's existed since ancient times and is caused by a virus. It occurs most commonly in children and can result in paralysis. The disease reached epidemic proportions throughout the first half of the 20th century. During the 40s and 50s, polio was associated with the iron lung, a large metal tank designed to help polio victims suffering from respiratory paralysis breathe. I've only known a couple of people in my life that had polio, or that I know of anyway. I can't think of any more. FDR was diagnosed with polio in 1921. He was 39 years old, and he was left paralyzed from the waist down and forced to use leg braces in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. I know most of you know he was paralyzed, but maybe didn't know that he had polio. See if we got any other hot topics regarding this day in history, or at least hot ones that I want to talk about. Nuclear disaster at Chernobyl, 1986. Uh, 1977, Studio 54 opens in New York City. Woo-hoo. Get your groove on. 1986, this is really important right here. Maria Shriver marries Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think that's probably good for now. Oh, here we go. 1865, Lincoln assassin John Wilkes Booth dies. The infamous John Wilkes Booth. Okay, enough of that. Let's get on to the subject at hand. We left off last week. Again, the number to call in is 914-219-0884. We were talking about UFOs, and my buddy Pete, he called in. He actually had an encounter. I had an encounter to talk about. And pretty interesting and cool. The cool thing is, Pete and I we've talked about UFOs some in the past, but I don't ever remember him telling that story. So I got to hear that story for the first time with you guys. Let's look at the history a little bit of the U.S. government interest in UFOs. The U.S. military has actually been interested in UFOs for a long time, going back to 1948 with the U.S. Air Force's Project Sign. The year before, a businessman named Kenneth Arnold, I don't know where I got woman out of that, I was half right, had claimed that while flying a plane near Mount Rainier in Washington State, he'd spied 9 crescent-shaped objects speeding along like saucers skipping on water. Newspaper accounts that mixed up his words helped popularize the term flying saucer. Reports of this sighting led more people to claim they'd seen UFOs, and the Air Force decided to study these claims. In the Cold War context, the military was eager to know whether the growing numbers of reports about supposed flying saucers might actually be some kind of advanced Soviet spy crafts. You know, there's always the conspiracy theory. All right, here we go. That's a refreshing Diet Pepsi. Project Sign was succeeded by another Air Force program called Project Grudge, which started and ended in 1949. The people who worked on Project Grudge concluded that UFO sightings were the result of hysteria, hoaxes, mental illness, or the misidentification of known objects. Even so, in 1952, the Air Force established another program called Project Blue Book, the longest-running official government inquiry into UFOs. By the time Project Blue Book ended in 1969, the Air Force had investigated more than 12,000 UFO sightings, 701 of which remained unexplained. Unlike the Navy's current system for its pilots and personnel to report UAP sightings, Project Blue Book documented and investigated accounts from anyone, military or civilian. At one point, it even had a questionnaire that allowed people to document their UFO sighting. Draw a picture that will show the shape of the object or objects, instructed one part of the questionnaire. Label and include in your sketch any details of the object that you saw, such as wings, protrusions, etc., and especially exhaust trails or vapor trails. Place an arrow beside the drawing to show the direction the object was moving. Let's see. For now, the Navy isn't releasing many details of the UAPs it's investigating, including speculation on who might be behind them. We're not going to categorize what any potential sources might be. Gradisher says, but as I've stated, there are two aspects of concern, the safety of our aviators and the security of our operation. We don't want people to see how we're training because we train as we fly, as we fight. So there you go. There's all kind of stuff that you can you know, find on different parts everywhere. I actually was looking at a video earlier that was recorded in 2015 by a Navy fighter from the nuclear aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt off the eastern seaboard near the Florida coast. And it actually shows you the video and what the pilot saw and what it means in his display, because there's like an infrared display. But let's see here. I wanted here we go. The U.S. Navy has confirmed that three F-18 gun camera videos first released by the New York Times and a UFO research organization show unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAPs, a more formal term for UFOs that doesn't have all the little green men baggage. The Times originally released two of the videos in December 2017, article revealing that the Pentagon had operated a secret UFO investigatory project called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. All three videos were published on the website to the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, a UFO research organization founded by former Blink 182 singer and guitarist Tom DeLonge. I encourage you to check it out. It's actually on history.com. just if you Google UFO, let's see here. I would probably history.com and then do a search for your Navy UFO video or something like that. If I read out the whole dang web page, it would be impossible to copy unless you have a photographic memory. The number to call is 914-219-0884. I encourage you to do so. Give me a call if you got an encounter that you'd like to tell us about. If not, that's cool. If you just want to comment, you don't necessarily have to have an encounter. let's see. One thing I was thinking about last week that I didn't get around to regarding UFOs is, which I did, Pete and I did talk briefly about, I had asked him what he thought about Hollywood, you know, injecting just the idea of UFOs and intelligent life on other planets and all that kind of stuff. And you know, Pete's opinion was that, you know, he doesn't think Hollywood could keep a secret that well, which I have to agree with that. But I've heard that theory in the past. But we are definitely shaped, so far as our opinion and thoughts about UFOs and life, possible life or intelligent life on other planets or other parts of the universe by movies and Hollywood and TV shows. I mean, Star Trek, you know, probably one of the biggest hits ever. I mean, it wasn't at first, but it's still in syndication, the original Star Trek. I think that was in the late 60s it started out. I think they only did just a few seasons, unbelievably so. But some of the movies, I mean, the movies have been around probably, some of the ones I found, some of the ones that stand out to me from the 50s, like The Day the Earth Stood Still. There was one in 51, and then they did a remake in 2008. The Thing from Another World, 1951. All those old movies, those alien movies and UFO movies were always so campy and just really, they were good because they were so bad. It Came from Outer Space, 1953. Earth versus the Flying Saucers. That's a classic right there. 1956. And then, of course, you've probably always heard Plan 9 from Outer Space. That's probably has the award for the worst all-time movie ever. at least for sci-fi. 914-219-0884 if you want to call in. Let's see. Earth versus the Flying Saucers, 1956. And then more recently, now this is not real recent, but recent relative to my age, was E.T., Extraterrestrial. It was kind of a, I think that was a, not George Lucas, but he did actually help with that one. Dang it. Just one of the all-time most successful filmmakers of all time. But anyway, George and his buddy. And then there was all, you know, a lot of the Stephen King books and that were made into movies. A lot of them were, you know, kind of about, you know, aliens. It, for example, you know, which has been remade and followed up with, you know, in recent years. The Tommyknockers. I don't know if you've seen that one. I'm not a big Stephen King fan, but I've definitely seen a lot of his stuff, just, you know, because there's so much of it, and you know, all that. So, speaking of aliens, I think there's a one on the line right now. Hello there, do you have your green card?
I may resemble that remark. How you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Scott. How are you?
Doing good. I was inadvertently detained at the Dollar General just now, but I got back just in time.
Well, you know, I did sign a waiver when we started your contract that if you were detained at the Dollar General that, you know, there was no obligations on your part, you know.
That's within 5 miles, so I stayed 12 feet apart from everybody, so I did good.
And did you get you some toilet paper?
No, strangely enough, we still... Somehow, we wound up with a month's supply.
I'm going to ask you that for every time I talk to you.
It's weird, man. But it is on the list this week. This will be the week.
We do need to have... We need to, like, a weekly toilet paper report.
Well, I'm sure I can arrange some. We'll get you some numbers on that.
So,
people call your people.
That sounds good. We'll get another contract with more waivers. References. So I didn't know how long you were hanging there. I just happened to look up and see you there. I was just talking about some of the Hollywood's versions of what's been presented to us over the years about UFOs and aliens and life on other planets, or, you know, extraterrestrial. But since you're just stepping in, have you ever had an encounter of any kind? Have you ever seen anything that you ever thought was, I mean, it might have been unidentified to you, of course, because you didn't have your radar on you, but have you ever seen anything that you thought was not of this planet?
No, not really. And I'm an avid rubbernecker when anything flies by the house here, you know, aircraft-wise. Always looking at the clouds, trying to dig the weather. So I've been gawking at the sky for 60 years about, I guess.
Yeah, well,
nothing inexplainable yet.
That's a good point. The fact
that
you did.
It wouldn't surprise me if it happened tonight, though.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything yet.
That is a really good point, though. I mean, you are a sky watcher. I'm sure way above average than your typical, homeboy. Not saying that you're a typical homeboy, but...
No, you're good.
but you're right.
I like to think I would have seen any anomalies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not because you weren't looking.
They may have known that I've looked so intently that they go around me. I don't know.
That's probably it. Yeah, they're saying, uh-oh, we're going to have to go around Deep Cat Huff Stutler's watching again.
That's it. Don't he ever go to sleep? What the heck?
I'm not going to repeat, you know, what I said last week, but, you know, I had an encounter, and I'll be glad to share it with you personally sometime.
Cool.
And then Pete, who had called in, he had actually had an encounter. I can't speak for me, but, you know, maybe I just weren't smart enough to tell the difference. That it sent, I mean, Pete's story was much more sensational than mine because this was actually closer. And, you know, Pete's no dummy. I mean, he's a pretty smart fella. So
his story has a lot of credibility. Yeah, I'm sorry. All the good call-ins. I hate I missed that last
week.
Well,
you know, that's what you get.
I heard that.
That's what you get.
The only thing I do remember when I was in grade school, it would have been about late 60s, a weather balloon, a classic weather balloon, was launched somewhere in, let's say, Kansas. It was slap in the middle of the continent. And it went up to 40,000 feet, and by the time the sun came up, it was over Charlotte, and people were going, "Oh God," calling in. And even then, by the 12 o'clock news, Channel 3, I guess, they were saying what that was. And I got my little atlas out and tracked its course, and it eventually, by sundown, had blown off the coast. But it was just so big and huge and visible in the daylight. It was wild looking.
Well, you know, there's plenty of documentaries out there, you know, that of stories of people that see UFOs and go out to Area 51 and, you know, swear up and down there's something going on up out there. But what puzzles me, this is the biggest thing right here, even though I've actually seen something, is every photograph or video or film you ever see is like out of focus, or the thing is like a little dot and you can barely see it. It's like, why can't, in all these years, why hasn't somebody got, it's just like Bigfoot.
Exactly.
Why hasn't somebody got a clear video or photograph where you
That's
can actually
feeling.
See, you know, you could actually see E.T. like waving at the window or something, you know.
Right. When your cat's going to get it together, man.
I know. I mean, so that's just like, until that happens, I mean, and I got, you know, plenty of reason to believe that there could be, but I'm just, for that very reason right there, it just kind of puzzles me. I think it's more us than anything else. It's just something we want to believe, you know.
That's a pretty good point. And then, you know, we don't know that they're not out there.
No. And,
odds are that they're bound to be. Whether they get to our neighborhood or not, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. I think if they were intelligent enough to get here, they would probably already have annihilated us at this point, because obviously their technology is way better than ours just because they got here. But what's your favorite UFO or ET movie, just off the top of your head?
That's a good question. I don't know. Can't think of one.
Well, you know, I spend all day coming up with good questions, so there you go.
Nice, sir. Lost in Space, probably the last thing I saw. That was cool.
Well, that was a TV show, wasn't it?
About 50 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a new version of that on Netflix.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. I've been watching it. It's very family-friendly, good show.
I don't remember having seen any E.T. flicks along that line, other than E.T.
What about Independence Day? That's one of my favorites.
Oh, that was quite cool. I've seen that.
Well,
like
I like
to think
it, you know,
everybody had their stuff together if that were to happen.
Yeah. When they go down in the bunker, you know, and they've got the freak show down there, and the president doesn't even know about it, you know, and guy, the actor, I forget his name, that plays Data on one of the Star Trek series, he's the doctor, you know. You want to see the freak show? That was a good show. I thought it was a good movie.
No, that was actually...
I always enjoyed Men in Black and the follow-ups to that.
I never, haven't I seen those?
You haven't seen Men in Black?
No.
Man.
I still love Flicks. A lot of Flicks.
Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
I've seen ads. It looks cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's really good. Well, there's actually three, I think. There's two with them two, and then there's a third one with him and a chick, I think. Will Smith and a chick. I can't remember what the actress's name is.
Cool.
And then there's the spooky ones, you know, like the Mothman Prophecies, Signs, Alien.
There's a fascination with it, for sure.
You saw Alien, right?
Oh, yeah, I did, actually. Sigourney
Weaver. Yeah, the dripping, slobbering, slimy, big bug feller with all the teeth.
Bad booger, no doubt.
Yeah, he was in pretty intense. But that's, you know, I mean, they've been doing movies. I always like the old movies, too. That's what I was talking about earlier, like, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space and The Day of the Earth Stood Still. And what was the radio show that everybody took it serious? Orson Welles, yeah. What was that? I mean, people really thought we were being attacked by Martians.
War of the Worlds, I guess.
Yeah, War of the Worlds. Yeah, that was neat to listen to,
years and years after it happened. That was fascinating.
Yeah, the fact that that's part of our history, that people got spooked like that.
Yeah. It's on the radio. True.
Acting.
Yes. He was awesome. I don't even know if he was a great director yet by that time. He may have already been.
Well, he made a name for himself. That's a good
way to... Might have been his first big splash.
If you want to make a name for yourself, become famous, make people pee in their pants. That'll work. I mean, it has to be a lot of people pee in their pants. Any of you listening, 914-219-0884, feel free to call in. We got a few minutes here. So I'm going to turn the table just here a little bit. One thing I was kind of thinking about, I think I told you this in our pre-production meeting, we might talk about what people's been up to since they've been in house arrest.
Yeah.
One thing I've been seeing is people's been doing a lot of cooking, trying, especially outside, you know, grilling, smoking, just baking, all kind of stuff. You've been doing, you and Miss Cherie, been doing any special food prep that you haven't done before?
Well, just as you say, we're not cooking outside yet, but a lot more home cooked meals from stuff that just happened to be here.
Yeah.
Taters and had ham, all kinds of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong with taters and ham.
No, it was homemade smashed taters. It was good.
So is it just too cold to cook outside there?
It's the grill shot. It's been converted
from a
rusted out, propane situation to a fairly decent rickety charcoal situation. But it's not matured up the season. It'll go one more season, but it's not ready yet.
I've been there, man. I was holding off to buy a grill because I wanted to get actual... You know, one of those big ceramic, you know, egg kind of things. I wanted to get a good grill, you know. And so I was holding out instead of burning out another. It's kind of like cheap lawnmowers, you know. You buy one for a couple hundred bucks, but they only last you for like 3 years or so at the most. But anyway, a friend of mine locally here, he actually gave me a leftover Weber. And it looks a little rough around the edges, but by God, it cooks some good hamburgers and steak.
Good.
We're going to throw some pork chops on there this evening.
That is cool that you mentioned that, because cooking out, you know, literally outdoors, is kind of a little adventure in itself. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. like we can't go camping, but at least we can cook outdoors and sort of kind of pretend we're camping, you know. sit around the blue flame. What about home projects? Have you done any home projects?
Not to speak of. Remember when the apple tree fell and killed the mailbox? I finally got apple tree chopped up. And you talk about smoking. Next time you come through this part, on your if you happen to go back to Tennessee or Jefferson or anything, pick up some of this apple wood. And I meant to give some to Jeff when he came through a couple months ago. Forgot to. But we got tons of that for smoking. I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I'm just saving all the wood.
Yeah,
some
that's
of it.
Great.
Some of it's going to the wood stove, but
yeah.
There'll be a lot of it.
No.
Try to remind me that when you're in the hood, and we'll load you up.
Well, see, you need to come here.
I know.
To Average
really,
Joe Studio.
I actually need to go to the old country sometime pretty soon.
We're going to have a company meeting that you're going to, your attendance will be required.
Check my claws, man. Check my claws. If I have to commute over 100 miles, I get double time.
You'll get mileage.
And expenses, yeah. All right, cool.
Okay.
Per diem, I have to crash. You have to pay me straight all the time.
One more question. We're basically up against the clock, but one more question. Have you done any music making? Have you been playing with your git fiddle, or your fiddle, or your anything like that?
Just the guitar, but yeah, I'm trying to stay in shape with it.
No big
inspiration here lately. I'm going to send you a cool link here in a minute to something I found recently about Southern rock. You might have seen it, but it's fascinating. So just
fascinating.
A little strumming on the sixth string, that's it.
Hey, you can't go wrong. Well, Mr. Scott, we're against the clock. I'm gonna go grill some pork chops and applesauce, and and I guess you'll go have some ham and taters.
Sounds good to me. Well, not be outside though. It's 45, and the wind is about 45.
Hey, just put on a coat and build a fire. You'll be fine.
Well, the fire's been going since last night. Thunder rolled through.
All right, man. Well, listen, thank you again for calling in and being a part of Average Joe and
my pleasure.
Being above average. And I know you can't help it, but...
right back at you.
All right. Hey, we'll see you next week.
All right, man.